It's day two of the Mackinac Policy Conference, where business leaders, entrepreneurs, and lawmakers are gathering with many issues top of mind, like raising the state's minimum wage and state money to Detroit. Also, just this morning, Governor Snyder sent the strongest signal yet that he would look favorably on adding LGBT rights to Michigan's civil rights law. Governor Snyder joins us now to talk about all of these issues. Governor, earlier today, we heard from a group of top Michigan business leaders pushing for LGBT rights to be added to the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act. You say you want the legislature to take it up, but is this something you will actually endorse?
Well, I appreciate them bringing up the issue. And as I've said, I don't believe in discrimination. I think it would be great if they actually the legislature looked at the issue later in the year.
Minimum wage. You signed the legislation. It got a very fast track through the House and Senate, much faster, might I add, than your request for money to fix the roads. We'll have to make that note. But there are leaders from both sides of the aisle saying they're happy to see the minimum wage rise to $9.25. But you do have members of your own party saying they think this is going to cause jobs to be lost and it will hurt Michigan's economy. What is your response to that?
Well, this was a good bipartisan compromise, and I appreciate it. This was a case where the leadership of both chambers and both parties, we all came together and said there should be a good, better solution here. And we all believed it, so we worked hard to come out with a good balance. And I think it came out with a good policy balance to say this is an opportunity to raise wages at the same time to do it in a fashion where we can, you know, appreciate the employer's concern about job creation.
And we have had Michigan citizens saying, please get bipartisan, please try to pull together and work together for the good of the state. So you see this as a good example of that.
It's a very good example. And the good part is it builds on what the House did with the Detroit settlement. That was another good bipartisan effort that actually I think the vote count totals in that case in particular surprised people about how strong the support was across all of Michigan to resolve the Detroit situation.
But I do have to ask what you would say to the some 300,000 Michiganders who signed those petitions to put the 10-10 question on the November ballot and basically let voters decide. Because the people who signed those petitions were not outsiders, as some GOP leaders describe them. They're Michigan voters who feel they've been shut down in this rush to kill the ballot proposal. Tell me, why shouldn't they feel cynical and angry?
Well, you mentioned the people signing the petitions, but prior you mentioned some people, primarily Republicans, that might not like the solution. This is part of a process to say this is a good policy answer, and it involved compromise and bipartisan effort, and the legislators were doing their job in terms of here's a difficult policy issue, here was a way to work it out in a constructive fashion where people did get a raise. So the outcome was one where people will be getting raises and getting raises over a consistent period of time in a structural solution, with also some limitations to deal with cases that concerned employers about it wouldn't be too much in any one year and also would be dealt with if there was too much unemployment. So this is the way I would hope the system would work in terms of people working well together and understanding there's a balance.
Let's go to Detroit, Governor. What are you hearing now as you're on Mackinac, you're working through the crowds, you're talking to a lot of people? How much support are you sensing there is for the grand bargain and how much resistance?
Well, with the people up here at Mackinac, there's tremendous support for the grand bargain. And I think I found that in many cases across the state. This is a case where we have to do something really special. If you stop and think about it, and the situation I often give people, for many Michiganders, when you talk to somebody out of state, how much of that discussion, the first 5 or 10 minutes, was about people out of state bringing up problems in Detroit before you could talk about what you wanted to talk about? And if you think about it, that's been true most of our lives for many of us. And we have a situation by this fall where that part of that discussion could go away. That the discussion could then be one about people talking about Detroit's comeback and about growing Detroit. And that's something that I think has powerful positive impact to every Michigander, because I think we very often have lived through that discussion, that old discussion, for far too long.
What kind of impression did you think Mike Duggan made yesterday, the mayor of Detroit, as he was there before the conference? Do you think he said what was needed?
Yeah, I think he gave a good presentation. It's a very pragmatic one. With measurements and metrics, I'm a big measurement and metrics person. It was important issues like blight, jobs for young people, emergency response times, a number of topics that when you look at the issues in Detroit, a lot of these are the fundamental things. Let's get the lights on. Let's get the trash picked up. Let's get better public safety. Let's be a safer, better city. And he addressed those in many ways. That's why, in fact, I made the point of being in his presentation to listen to it.
Do you think this bankruptcy can be wrapped up before the clock runs out on Kevin Orr's term as emergency manager?
I hope so. Again, that's always been the goal, and it's been a very aggressive timetable, but we've done well. If you go back and look at over a year ago when that first timetable was set, we're within a couple weeks of that, which I don't think anybody really expected that. Most people were highly skeptical of that, and we've gotten a lot of great things done. We'll work through this process. And again, the important thing is we get it resolved because, again, I want to see the mayor and the city council running the city of Detroit on their own as soon as possible with some good oversight.
One of the big problems that's kind of hanging out there is what to do with Detroit's water and sewer department. What are your thoughts as far as the best answer to that problem?
Well, I've always contended I thought it would be good to look at a regional authority in some fashion because it's providing services to the region. And so I think there was a lot of effort made by Kevin Orr to get that worked out early on. Those talks were not successful. And I think it's good that mediators have now been appointed to continue the dialogue. What I would say is all the discussion on water and sewer should not interfere with the grand bargain in terms of what the Senate's looking at. We should get the grand bargain done, I would hope, through the Senate, and then have ongoing discussions about the best way to do the water system.
Well, you know Brooks Patterson, Oka County exec. He's a tough old politician who's seen it all. And we also have Macomb County exec Mark Hackle, and they both are worried people in their counties are really going to carry the cost of Detroit's rescue in terms of much higher water rates. Can they be won over to this idea of a regional water authority?
Well, we've been providing them additional information because those aren't the facts. The facts are that if you look at it, it's nearly $500 million of savings for ratepayers with the current plan of adjustment. And in fact, all that they're talking about is an acceleration of payments that would already be required by ratepayers. So it's the simple case of if you had a 30-year mortgage or a 10-year mortgage, aren't you better off with a 10-year mortgage? Might cost you a little bit more in those years, but you actually save money. So in addition to that $500 million, it's actually a better deal for ratepayers.
I want to look ahead to the November election. At this point, it seems that you are not wanting to take on your Democratic opponent, Mark Schauer, in a very direct way. And we know you do like to think of yourself as not political. But I'm wondering, do you plan to engage in a direct campaign against Mark Schauer? I mean, I'm wondering, at what point is it time to get political and fight for your job?
Well, again, I'm running on my record. I'm governor of Michigan. I'm proud of it. I'm being governor. And I think that's what people want me to do. So the way I view it is again, people have their expectations. They like campaigns where people fight back and forth. I don't fight with people. I believe in relentless positive action. I'm proud of my record. I'm going to keep solving problems in Michigan, and I hope our voters respect that.
Governor, thanks so much for your time and talking with us on Stateside.
No, it's great to be with you. Take care.
Let's stay on Mackinac for a moment and turn now to Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. His column today is all about Rick Snyder shaking up political stereotypes. And Daniel, we can't be surprised at the thumbs up for the governor that you're getting from Republicans and from business leaders. But I want you to tell us about your conversation with former member of the Detroit City Council, Sheila Cockrell. What did she say about the governor?
Well, I think she basically says he's done the right thing. He refused to kick the can down the road. He recognized the dire financial straits that Detroit was in and was willing to take the political risk to try and fix it, and ultimately culminated in the largest municipal bankruptcy in American history. I think the governor, he said something interesting yesterday when we were interviewing him. He said, I've been working on Detroit since 2009. Now, listeners will remember, he was elected in 2010, so that suggests clearly that he was looking at the macroeconomic environment, the political corruption problems of the city, and kind of figured that if he was elected governor, this was going to land on his desk, and it did. And I think Sheila Cockrell just recognizes that he did the right thing, and I think that's a very important distinction here that is confounding a lot of conventional political thinkers, and mm-hmm. that is that a Republican governor and a Republican legislature are engineering, if you will, the redemption of Detroit and the restructuring of Detroit. And that's very hard for people to get their minds around.
Yeah, as we just heard in my conversation with the governor, he really, really, really is Mr. Relentless Positive Action. And he doesn't and he will not fling bricks and mud, for example, at his Democratic opponent, Mark Schauer. He doesn't wreak vengeance. How do you see this style of his as proving to be more of an asset than a liability?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is that it creates, and I don't like this word necessarily, but it creates inclusiveness, the likes of which traditional partisan approaches do not. I think there are a lot of people that are looking at the results and looking at an administration that is trying to create solutions instead of waging the same old tired battles. And I think that even confounds the media a little bit in Michigan and nationally because they're more accustomed to the traditional partisan back and forth. And that's really not what we have. And I think one of the things that the governor is doing is he tends to treat people just as people. And he accepts the fact that they may disagree, but let's try and find common ground. Let's try and agree that we need a solution, and let's move towards on that solution. That said, he's not unwilling to push ahead with things that are very unpopular and are opposed by others. But I think that's what gives him high marks, because I think also a lot of people know that Detroit had been doing the same thing over and over again and somehow expecting a different result, and they weren't getting it.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House checking in from the Mackinac Policy Conference. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.